Lord, I ask that you would speak to all of us today about time, relevance of time in our lives. And I ask that you would bless this message and give it life for each of us in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a meantime Sunday. What are you going to do in the meantime before we start doing other things, you know? And we'll probably go to church on Sunday, but what are we going to do in the meantime? You know, it's that kind of thing. This message is about time. In the Bible, they talk about the opportune time or the relevant time in terms of times of events and things like that. This message is about time, the times that we live, the time that God gives us, what we do with that time. And as they say, time is money, so let's get at it. I have the scriptures that I use, the scripture that I use on December 11th, which is Matthew 1, 118, the first part. And then I have the first paragraph from Tale of Two Cities, which kind of describes the times that Jesus was born in, but also the times that we live in and the times that Jesus gets born into people's lives here. And then we're going to move on to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. So let's start with Matthew 1:18. Here we go. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received for good or for evil in the superlative degree of comparison only. Now let's read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 to 11, because this is about the times too. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the sons of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's mind, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Time. It's one of the deep mysteries known to humanity. No one can know exactly what it is, yet it is the ability to measure time that makes our way of life possible. Most of our activities, like going to church, involve groups of people acting together in the same place at the same time. We couldn't do this if we didn't measure time the same, and yet do we see time the same? One way of thinking about time is to imagine a world without time. This timeless world would be at a standstill. Either that or everything would happen at once. If some kind of change took place, if it was a standstill, that timeless world would be different now from what it was before. And the period, no matter how brief, between now and before indicates that time must have passed because something happened. That tells us that time and change are related because the passage of time depends on change taking place. In our world, changes never stop occurring or happening. Some changes seem to happen only once, like the falling of a particular leaf, or the birth of a particular child, or the death of a loved one, or the death of you. Other changes, like waves breaking on the beach, happen over and over again. Any change that takes place again and again stands out from other changes. The rising and the setting of the sun are examples of this kind of change. The first people to keep time probably counted such natural repeating events and used them to keep track of events that did not repeat. Scientists think of time as something that can be measured. Albert Einstein came along, he realized that time was affected by relative motion. The theory of relativity has within it the fact that the faster we go, the slower time passes around us. With Albert's help, we know these as hectic times, don't we? In fact, Dr. Einstein probably discovered that all time is relative when he was waiting for his wife to get ready to go to a big dinner. He kept asking her, "Aren't you ready yet to get going?" Finally, his wife got good and mad, and she yelled at him, "Why don't you keep quiet, Albert? For the last hour, I've been telling you I'd be ready in a minute." From this, he deduced that all time is relative. Some minutes seem like hours, and some hours seem like minutes. Dealing with relativity is beyond most people, but not for one kid. He surprised the teacher when he went out for recess, and he would go out there and he would sit perfectly still during recess. She asked him, and she said, "Why are you doing this?" He says, "It makes recess go too quick if I play, so I want it to last." We do a lot of things with our time. We waste time. We kill time. Where do you bury it? We serve time. We do time. We spend time. And, of course, time is money, isn't it? We lose time. We save time. Where do you put it if you're saving time? Make time. Keep time. Make up time. Take up time. We beat time, and we do it in a record time. We fill our time with all kinds of stuff, don't we? And then we have time. We have quiet time. We have hectic times, interesting times, prayer time, family time, bad times and good times, lunch time, break time. And from time to time, we have no time. These are the times of our lives. We have tax time and daytime and nighttime and daylight savings time. And rarely, though, in all of this do we have plenty of time. It sometimes gets very confusing, doesn't it, with all the times that we have. One drunk walked up to a man and said, "Do you have the time?" And the man said, 8:15. And the drunk said, "I must be going nuts, man. All day long I've been getting different answers." We have tough times and rough times. We have hot times and we have half times. And it's short time, and when 5 o'clock comes, it's Miller time. And the longest period of time is the time between one paycheck and the next, because time is money. But of course, we all know these things about time, don't we? Because it's biblical. It's in the Bible. For everything, there is a season. And a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die, and we just read it a few minutes ago. It all comes down to a lifetime, doesn't it? We have timetables and time capsules and time frames and time keepers and time lag and time trials. Are these trials that we endure in time, or is time on trial? Some things seem timeless. We have time locks. We have time exposure, time killers. Those people are things that kill time, I guess. Some things are time-consuming. Do they eat time? Time cards, time-worn, and a timepiece. And speaking of timepieces, a man was walking down the street carrying a large grandfather clock, and he made a fast turn around a corner, and a drunk staggered into him, and he said, "Hey, buddy, this wouldn't happen if you carried a watch like everybody else." And I'm so glad that I got this message together, so we have it today to do this about time. So I guess it happens in the fullness of time as I get up here. And some of you are saying to yourself, "I wonder what time he'll get done." And by the way, at the right time, of course. For everything, there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. So what should we do in the meantime? Let's get a little wisdom, shall we? I don't know how many of you ever seen the movie A River Runs Through It, but it's a story about a Presbyterian minister and his two sons, and it takes place, I think, in Montana. And it's really the story of the prodigal son and the elder son. It's a story about life, but it's called A River Runs Through It, and the river that runs through the story and through their lives is actually time. It's the river time. Today, I want us to be painfully aware of how this river of time runs through our lives as well. And today, I want us to know that we all move in this river, and it makes us aware that we need to remember our own condition and also remember those in our lives who have already been carried away by this river of time. We need to be taught to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. I'd like for you to join me in reading portions of Psalm 90, which are printed in your bulletin here. And as you read it, see if you can picture yourself reading these words by a river that runs through the mountains. Okay, here we go. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man back to the dust and sayest, "Turn back, O children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Thou dost sweep men away. They are like a dream, like grass which is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. The years of our lives are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Let thy work be manifest to thy servants and thy glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it." Time is like a river flowing through our lives, and there is a place on that river for each of us to be born and each of us to die. And it's wisdom if we learn the eternal significance of each day, no matter whether we're young or old. Between the womb and the tomb is where we live. Do you have plans for the future? Are you thinking about this coming week? Well, when we quit talking or thinking about the future, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do in the meantime? The fact of the matter is, the meantime is where we live our lives. In the meantime is where we make decisions, where we suffer pain, where we are joyful or happy or lonely or depressed. The meantime is where we laugh and cry. The meantime is where we live. Read with me verse 12 here. I got it bold in this psalm. Here we go. So teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. We say things like, tomorrow I will begin dieting or quit something or make up my mind about this or that, or I'll begin to study the Bible, or I'll join the church, or I'll attend a great banquet, or I'll go see my parents, or I'll apologize to that person that I need to apologize. But in the meantime is where we live. It would be wisdom for us to live today and not as if we have all the time in the world. And actually, we've got more meantime than most of us have the courage to use. The truth is we call it the meantime because we know it just might be mean stuff to live for today. You know, it may seem mean to us to live in the present instead of in the past or in the future. It's easier to project our unfinished business on God than to get on with it ourselves. Some of us are waiting for an inspiration to do something great, or a miracle to occur in our lives, or some ultimate truth to hit you like a ton of bricks. But in the meantime, yeah, you have to live as if something is true. I had a seminary student that was doing field education at the church down in Kentucky I was at. And he said, we worked together for 2 years. And he said something to me one time that really kind of spoke. He says, you know, I think God has something very important for me to do. And I thought at the time that he was being a bit presumptuous, but it might be true. So I said, that's great, and that's fine. And I hope it is true that God has got something great for you to do. But I got one question. What are you going to do in the meantime? What are you going to do in the meantime? That's where you live, don't you? The truth is, there are very few large major events in any of our lives. Most of our lives are really made up of little things done along the banks of the river named time, in the meantimes of our lives. There are all sorts of meantimes which, if we could, we would wish to escape. You know, we go to Taylorville and Decatur Correctional Centers, the prisons, to do the great banquet in these two places, a men's prison and a women's prison, and you know, we go down there and we do hard time. We do time with these people. And those men and women are literally doing their mean time. They're always looking forward to getting out. That's all they think about. They waste their mean time thinking about the future. I think the punishment of our society, part of it is to take their time from them. Some of us are wasting, killing, and losing our meantime, waiting to go someplace or to read a particular book or take up a new sport or hobby or become a new person, this or that to happen to us. Often these potential interests are not put off until old age. When I retire, then I'm going to. And that begins a multitude of lost causes. Postponement can become a habit that is hard to break. How sad it is to have a life full of meantimes just go down the drain. And the words of Psalm 90 kind of echo along the banks of the river and in terms of what we say. Lord, teach us. Teach us to count our ways in terms of that. Let's read together Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. Therefore it is said, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of God. Those of us who claim to be followers of Jesus, this kind of scripture is a wake-up call in terms of our lives. Are you asleep or are you dead in Christ? If so, then wake up. Pay attention. Count your days and make the most of them for Christ's sakes, for the days are evil in which we live. Now, the word evil here can mean what we normally think of evil, something that is actually wicked or evil. But it can also mean that which is pointless. And a lot of times, we live in pointless times. It is much easier to be religious and passively believing that Jesus someday, somehow, will rule the world or fill all the dinner buckets or solve all the problems that we have or wipe away all the tears than it is to be a disciple of Jesus in those places ourselves. To be a disciple of Jesus in the meantime, in the kitchen, with the husband or wife or with the kids or our friends or heaven forbid, even with our enemies. It is more difficult to be a Christian in the meantime on the job or in the church. We know we're supposed to forgive, we're supposed to love, to be positive and encourage people. We know that there are people all around us who are living in darkness and pain and whose lives are falling apart. We may know that our son or our daughter or sister, brother, parent does not know Jesus, and we are to be the light to them. We like to keep these things out there in the future and keep it nice and fuzzy out there in the future that it won't get in our way. Of course, it's always old so-and-so who really needs to hear this message and not me. But we're all turning out to have the most amazing blind spots. One of the things that we need is, well, we have self-deception. And Jesus said, you should know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We think we're going to do it all in the future, but Jesus says, what are you going to do in the meantime? We say or think, let's not try to read Christ's commands into our daily lives. In the meantime, old man River, he just keeps rolling right along, doesn't he? And so people die around us. They could die physically or spiritually because we fail to be Jesus to them. Sometimes we die spiritually or we go to sleep because we don't want to live our lives, our spiritual lives, in the meantime, in the midst of what we're going through. But next year, your Christian discipleship is something that is great for a theoretical foundation, but watch out if you try to apply it to a given situation. That's when the trouble always starts. That's when we don't want to do it, when we're called to serve now instead of, well, it's not on my time schedule, the many things that are going on. It's just not convenient to me right now, and we deny so regularly with our mean times what we say we believe with our eternal thoughts. And we don't even realize that we're doing it. Many of us are asleep at the wheel, and that's why the Word of God says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. That's why the Word of God says in Psalm 90, in verse 12, teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. We have difficulty with understanding our days and what the meantime really is. You know, when you get ready to go on vacation, does a vacation begin when the car is finally packed and everybody's in the car? Does it begin when you drive away? Does it begin when you arrive at the place that you're going to? Does it start when you get your bathing suit on and you get ready to go out to the beach? When does it start? Or in the meantime? In the meantime, we're looking forward to the day when the children will be grown, or the Democrats or the Republicans are in or out of office, or the streets are safe, or life is less hectic and bewildering. But in the meantime, we're looking forward to that time when life settles down a bit and we can become more active in church and Sunday school and attend on a more regular basis instead of once a month or whatever. And we're looking forward to that time when we can give more to the church, but with all the bills and such, well, you know how it is in the meantime. I had a guy tell me one time that he was looking forward to the time when he was going to be making a great deal of money so that he could give more and really make an impact with his giving. I should have let him know then, but I'll say it to someone maybe to now, if you're not faithful in little things, the little money you make, and the big things when they come along, more than likely you won't be faithful in that either. And finally, the last and most important meantime that we don't wake up over and use wisely is our commitment to be a disciple of Jesus. We have this tendency to say to Jesus, you are my Savior and I wish to make you Lord of my life and I plan to follow you later, but in the meantime. So here we are in our lives and there's a river that runs through it. That river's name is time, and for each of us there's a time to be born and a time to die, but what are you going to do in the meantime? Wake up and walk wisely, for the days are evil. We need a heart of wisdom to count each of our days and make each of them count. The timing for this message felt right, and I hope this message has been timely for you. But as it says in Ecclesiastes verse 7, if you read it, there's a time for speaking and there's a time for silence, and my time's run out. Did any of you see it leave? Time is money. I think that's why it's always running out. There's no time like the present. Make the most of it. And I hope you can say that this was a timely message for you. Let's pray. Lord, teach us, as the scripture says, teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.